parents.
It's very important for people to write these letters, send copies to members of Congress or to the press or anyone who you think is interested in the contents of the letter. It's a way to get people involved. And don't worry if you don't get an answer. Send it around to other people, and you'll get people coming to join you in whatever effort you pursue.
Part two in a moment. Ralph Nader, we thank you so much. Longtime consumer advocate, corporate critic, former presidential candidate. His new book is Return to Sender, Unanswered Letters to the President, 2001-2015. He'll be speaking here in New York June 1st at Book Culture. And Juan and I will be in Washington, D.C. at the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church for the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War today and tomorrow. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mata.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is just before 8. I need to tell you that the preceding program was brought to you by Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing and Full Circle Resale, featuring women's clothing, jewelry, and accessories with a focus on natural fibers since 1984. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located on the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont, and at GazelleNaturalFiberClothing.com. Stay tuned for Positively Revolting right after this.
Yeah, look 'em all. Yeah, now with them.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the third annual Surf Riders Soiree, Thursday, May 7th at the Holocene in Portland. The fundraiser will include an art show, silent auction, raffle, DJ, and screening of two surf films, North of the Sun and The Fortune Wild. Proceeds will benefit the Portland chapter of Surf Riders Clean Water Campaign. Again, that's the third annual Surf Rider Soiree, Thursday, May 7th, 6 to 11 p.m. at the Holocene, 1001 Southeast Morrison in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Gone are the rains of April. Gone the cruel cold. Old man winter has departed. Stories have been told. It's another May Day come again. Goodbye to the rains of April. Another May Day come again, and we dance around the maypole. Welcome in the wonder of the spring and the oncoming summer, the festival of Beltane and the nectar of the lover. It's the holiday of pagans and the holiday of ladies.
Yeah.
It's another May Day come again. Goodbye to the rains of April. Another May Day come again. And we dance around the maypole.
Good morning. Good morning. It is May Day.
2015.
We are here. And that was Casey Neal, a song that I can't wait to play every year when we are looking at May Day, because really, how many songs get to combine the pagan holiday and the struggle of the workers?
Two great holidays. I love
Casey
it.
Neal.
In one, wrapped up in one.
We love Casey. Anyways, it is seven minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning here in Greater Cascadia, and you are listening to KABU, your very own community radio station. This is Positively Revolting, and I'm Ani.
And I'm Lynn.
And, you know, we're going to talk about May Day. We're going to talk about many, many things as they all feed in together. May Day is just about my favorite day of the year, and that song, like I was saying, gives a pretty good overview as to why. In ancient Europe, pagans celebrated May Day as one of the cross-quarter holidays, noting the start of a season or cycle. May Day is the part of the year where summer begins, and energy fully blossoms from the inner-facing energy of winter to the winter sort of energy is sort of, it's full of reflection, it's full of contemplation, it's inward focus, it's the gathering of visions and the storing of energy for the year to come. Well, this is that year. This is the cycle that kicks in now, where those visions are enacted. The expansive energy turns outward. It is a time of action, doing, and carrying those visions through to reality, making them real and actual amongst us. Excuse me. In the wheel of the year, this is the holiday in which the goddess becomes lover. This is the holiday where the goddess takes her consort, the god or god king. The fertility rites of May Day are the stuff of legends and verse, the most simple being, let's say, modified for radio. Hooray, hooray for the 1st of May outdoor begins today. After a day of feasting, maypole dancing, and celebration, to say nothing of planting the crops, people took to the fields for bonfires and, well, let's just say to encourage the fertility
frolicking,
of the harvest.
Frolicking, a lot of frolicking.
Lots of frolicking was had. It's the big fertility festival. Come on, kids. This was a joyous and rocking holiday. It is, there's a really, it's the expansiveness. It's the outward focus. It is all things sensual, all things beautiful, all things moving forward and bursting into summer.
Did they not make the straw man at this time?
No, that's the fall.
Oh, and that's the fall. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I was reading something about it, and I got the wrong pagan holiday. Sorry.
There's so many of them.
I know, no.
And they all involve bonfires. Let's face facts. anyways, we digress. That is that's the May Day Euro-pagan component mm-hmm. of the day. Now, who were celebrating? They were the pagans. And let's just remember, the pagans were the uncolonized of Europe. The pagans were the indigenous Europeans. This is part of indigenous European spirituality. So, earth-centered, earth-based, spiral path, all that kind of good stuff. And why are we talking about that today? Well, because all things are connected. And May Day, somehow or another, fast forward a few hundred years to 1886, Haymarket Square in Chicago. Unions were calling for an 8-hour workday. Novel thought.
Many now people are trying to scramble to get 8 hours of work.
I was
going to
say,
story.
Many of us would still like an 8-hour workday because either you have too much or too little.
Yeah.
They were looking at a strike on May Day as a means to get it. A strike was called. If we weren't going to get an 8-hour workday in 1886, then strike on May Day was the word. Protests happened.
The slogan was 8 hours for work, 8 hours for rest, 8 hours for what we will.
Right? It's a good slogan.
Shortening the hours, increase the pay.
I was going to say the slogans.
Okay, there's part of that now. We got to get the other part.
The slogans then actually work for now. And that's a little disheartening, I think. It's like, wow, the struggle continues. We are looking, basically 150 years later, and we're still looking for justice for workers. We're still looking for...
Bosses don't give up the power easily.
No, they absolutely do not.
No.
Power does not give in without struggle. And so we look at struggle. And, of course, with Haymarket, what we saw was there was struggle after a day of striking and protest, May 1st, May 2nd. May 3rd, workers met outside of the McCormick Harvesting Machine building. And after a day of peaceful protesting and speeches being made by union activists, labor activists, and anarchists of the day, the crowd sort of surged forward, threatening to overwhelm scabs or strikebreakers, and police shot into the crowd indiscriminately, killing something between 4 to 6 people.
And you know, what's interesting about this, too, from what I have been reading, is that like what happens in many demonstrations that I've been to, it was at the very end when most folks had gone home already. It was starting to rain. It was about 7:30 at night. The one on May 2nd where the shooting started, there were like a couple thousand people attended, but everybody was sort of going home. And then the report said the police panicked. The last minute speakers were Albert Parsons, just returned from Ohio, Samuel Filden, an English-born Methodist and preacher who sat in, worked with labor movements. They were just about over, and only about 200 people remained when they were attacked by 176 policemen carrying Winchester repeated rifles, the SWAT team of the day. Filden was speaking. Lucy and Albert Parsons, who were the organizers of the event, had left because it was raining. Then someone unknown to this day threw the first dynamite bomb ever used in peacetime history of the United States. I would like to say that I don't think the Native Americans would agree with that. I think there's a lot of people who would think that there was a lot of bomb throwing in other areas before that. It was like saying what Wolf Blitzer said the other day when things were going on in Baltimore. Why, this is happening in the United States of America. I've never seen such a thing before, because apparently the man has had his history. He's had his frontal lobe wiped. So there you go.
Well, he is a reporter for mainstream corporate owned press.
So for CNN, yeah.
I think they remove your memory and ability to actually provide context for what you say.
Yes.
With your hire. I think there's a little ray that they
right.
put you through.
And labor leaders were rounded up. Houses were entered without search warrants. And union newspapers were closed down. Martial law was declared the next day, not in just Chicago, but throughout the nation. Somebody was scared. Anti-labor governments around the world used this to crush local union movements. Use this one example.
This is... I gotta say the similarity between what was happening in 1886 and what's happening now, with the fact that of course the end of the Haymarket story is that on the 4th of May there was continued protests, this time also protesting the murders that the police had just committed, And then there was...
Well, I love the mysterious part about who threw the bomb.
Then there was, I was going to say, course, and then there was this thing that happened.
Of course it was the anarchists. It's always the anarchists. But my experience in demonstrations as usually provocateurs are the first folks to, but that's just, you know, it's anecdotal information on my part, but it's provocateurs that start those things, especially after an entire day. But they were being attacked. Hello.
Well, so no one knows really who threw the bomb.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I hear. It's mysterious.
But there it was. Suddenly there was a bomb, and this is the Haymarket Massacre, the Haymarket Riots, or the Haymarket Bombing, depending how, which history book you read. And then, of course, there was the trial that followed by Haymar. And this sort of really sort of cemented May Day as a workers' holiday internationally. So May Day is internationally Workers' Day. In the States, of course, we have really tamed that down, and we celebrate Labor Day in September. The States, up until recent years, had lost the tradition of May Day being a workers' holiday. I think that got wiped out with McCarthy.
Yeah. But, well, I looked on at the New York, when I was getting coffee at our friendly local establishment this morning, they have the New York Times, and I went, oh, wonder what they're going to say. Nothing. No how, nowhere. Not that I'm that surprising, but it's worth mentioning, I think, that. However, in Portland,
there's stuff happening, stuff and such.
We have tons of things happening.
So there is, today, in downtown Portland, there's a couple of different things happening at exactly the same time. Solidarity, I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. Solidarity is a good thing to consider today, as we look at really how all struggles are the same struggle. We all really rely on each other. Our issues are completely interconnected. So I would like to point out two things that are happening. Don't Shoot Portland. Hands Up Portland, Don't Shoot Solidarity Protest March has been called for today in solidarity with Baltimore, with Ferguson, with Black Lives Matter, with ending police violence in our communities. That demonstration has been called for the South Park blocks at Portland State University Smith Center. So that's like Park and Montgomery-ish. And that's at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Also, and so the gathering is at 2, rally at 3, march at 4:30. Also today, gathering at 2, rallying at 3, marching at 4:30 in the South Park blocks, but say a little bit north at Shemansky Park, which is park blocks in Salmon, will be Jobs with Justice and other folks marching for immigrants' rights and workers' rights, and seeing the interplay and interconnection between those two issues specifically. Now, of course, as we were just talking about, as with Haymarket and police murdering people, there, again, 150 years later, what are we talking about? Across the country, there's been uprisings this week and really for the last 6 months. When we look at the outrage that has been unleashed from the injustice around the Ferguson verdict and around putting together the pieces and actually seeing a more complete picture of exactly how murderous the police are.
I love, there was another, well, this was one article that was on the cover of the New York Times that I found interesting. It was like, statistics show maybe there's a little increase in police violence. Then as you keep reading the article, I'm like, really, who thought of this headline? It was that it's very hard for them to find out because there's been no documentation. It's very spotty documentation. So it's up to the people to document these things because these are things that since the advent of, shall we say, portable video cameras can be documented better, the killings that have been happening in the last few years. I would say it's... I would venture to guess there are not more or less, but pretty much it's been going on for some time.
Indeed.
Hello.
So
remember slavery, people? Oh.
I want to invite your calls.
Oh, please.
503-231-8187. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. How are all these things interconnected? Well, you too can help us interconnect. It's important, I think, to see the interconnectedness of struggle and also to place it within the year. You know, because as one of those sort of, you know, pagans, I do think that things have a cycle. Energy has a cycle. And speaking of cycles and speaking of transitions, I do want to let listeners to Positively Revolting know that Melody Silverwolf, the co-founder of this program, along with myself, some 21 years ago and co-host of the program for 16 years, I think, overall, passed on, crossed over this last week. So
a week ago today.
Indeed. And so as we look at May Day, which was one of her two favorite holidays, it is, I think, a good time to remember fondly those that have transitioned and think about really that legacy and struggle. We carry the torch for each other and we pass it on. And you know, we don't have that many times around the sun. So live to the fullest. And May Day again is that the embodiment of that to me. So as we are looking at really hard issues, injustice, the injustice against workers, the oppression of people of color, the racism that is so very apparent and murderous at this time, as we look at the violence against women, as we look at what is being done to sexuality in this culture, and how very mixed message, puritanical slash commercialized sexuality has become. There is some muting issue. I don't know.
Then have the sound off.
And then we, I think, owe it to ourselves to really take a step back and to look at how we engage each other, how we use our very precious life energy. And that's, I guess, that's where I'll end that. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I also want to announce this just in breaking news off the Twitter sphere. And that is Freddie Gray's death has been ruled a homicide. And
ba-dum-bum-bum. Drum roll, people.
I know. And there's a part of me that says, yeah,
the okay. mysterious spinal injury,
but
otherwise known as almost a beheading, but that's another story, I guess.
But six officers have been charged with manslaughter and or second degree murder in his death. That's kind of brand new. So we'll be following that throughout the days ahead. Again, this is not justice already served. This is the very first step, and it's a duh step. It's like, really? Of course. Now let's actually see justice.
Like,
and
that,
let's actually see an end to these murders.
Yeah, that it's somehow a victory that the last two police killings have of innocent men have are resulting in indictments instead of, or at least being them being charged instead of them being put on leave with pay.
So I think we're
baby
looking at
steps, Bob.
We're looking at some little baby steps, and right now it's hardly enough, but baby steps in the right direction nonetheless. So just wanted to get that news out there. And good morning, James. Good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
We're doing all right.
Happy May Day, or Beltane, I believe, is the correct term.
Yep, it's called.
They're both
by,
good.
It's
They're
called
both
by
good.
Many things.
Okay, all right, good.
It's a holiday. They are by many names.
Okay, sounds good. No, I was actually the interconnectedness of everything. KBOO, I can't remember whose show it was earlier this week, talked about the intersections of social and eco justice. With disposable people and disposable land. I called another radio show earlier this week as well about it. It's just something that is is so right on because the idea of disposable people is not is something that's relatively new as well as disposable land, and I really feel like that that these have come about as a kind of an offshoot of Western imperialism and thinking that, you know, well, what's worthless in the eyes of the imperialist is something that, according to them, has no value for whatever ends that they choose to use it for.
That is true, except I'm thinking that I don't think people being thought of as disposable is anything new.
Oh, no, it's not anything new at all. I mean, every culture is definitely...
Well, I don't know about every culture, but it's certainly been something since Western civilization has been in the top rung of, or not top rung, has been dominant. That
I totally agree.
So is that your? Did you have another point to make, James?
Really? Well, it was just that we have to start moving beyond this. We have to start figuring out all of the intersections where we can come together and stop seeing issues as just vacuums kind of out there that really don't mean anything. I did a lot of canvassing when I was younger, and this one person I talked to, I never forget, I was canvassing for Gifford Pinchot Task Force, and I was raising money to stop the copper mining they were trying to do at the base of Mount St. Helens. And this guy told me, he's like, you should be advocating for human rights. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, because every violation basically, every violation of our rights basically boils down to human rights. And that if people were...
That's separating humans from the rest of the of the sentient beings and the rest of the planet, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some people think human rights means to use all the resources that you want.
Yeah, no, totally. It was just for me. It was like thinking, well, you know, if we started seeing ourselves as more a part of the planet rather than, you know, we would start treating ourselves. Each other better, and we'd be treating the planet a whole lot better.
That is a good way to start. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
and that is sort of one of the tenets of ecofeminism, really. That we are a part of this planet. We are all sacred. The planet is sacred. We all need to treat each other and the planet with respect. It is the planet is not a dead thing to be used.
We are of nature.
Yes,
the planet is not just material. It is not just a dead thing to be used. And people are not, quote, resources.
No, you got that right on.
Hey, James, Thanks very much for your call this morning.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Happy May Day again.
And thanks. To you. Alrighty.
It is 28 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. You are listening to KBOO in Portland. I'm Ani. I'm Lynn. Here with Ani. Oh, God. It's early, people. We're not morning people, and we do this because we love it. Okay. I'm Lynn. That's Ani. We are Positively Revolting. We are here this morning talking about May Day. We would love calls from you talking about your experiences with May Day, what it means to you. 503-231. At least I didn't give my own phone number out. 503-231-8187.
That's a low blow. I've only done that a couple times.
No, I mean, I almost do it a lot.
Oh.
You just don't hear it because I don't actually do it.
Oh, yeah.
231-8187. You can contact us also on Gmail at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. You can contact us on the Book of Face at positivelyrevolting. And we also are on Twitter at positiverevolt. There's so many ways to do it, but we like callers. It's a call-in radio show. It's kind of fun to do that. Don't you think?
It is. We do like callers. And, of course, we do encourage you to follow along on the Book of Face, just as Lynn was saying, because once a week is not enough. There's a lot of information to share.
We like to keep the conversation going.
Do follow along as we play this game of life together, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Radio. So I also want to let people know that there are May Day displays at the Central Library, in the first floor, Popular Library, and in the second floor, Science and Business Room, displays honoring and celebrating the day. And so this brought to me by a friendly local librarian. Thank you very much. Always good to know. So as folks are downtown today, maybe just sort of checking things out if you happen to be downtown. The Central Library, gosh, that's close to the South Park blocks. I'm just saying, if people happen to be downtown.
Talk about intersectionality.
You can... that's just intersections. That's just different. You can, in fact, check out the library should you choose to, with the May Day displays. First floor, Popular Library. Second floor, Science and Business Room. Right. So let's go ahead and talk to the next person. Let's talk to Christopher, 503-231-8187. Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning. Thank you, ladies, for talking about May Day, and also what Utah fellows would call the long memory, going all the way back to the Haymarket Affair and the fight for bread and roses and the 8 hours of rest and 8 hours for play and 8 hours for work. And he would also say that the rich will never let you vote away their wealth, and you really see that with the police state that's going on, that they're just kind of enforcing the 1% domination over us, and that workers and the working class people are what built this country and what brought about the greatness around here, and that we just kind of have to realize that if we take our own leadership of what's going on, we might actually get somewhere with it all.
Thank you. That's true. Yeah. I thank you for that other quote. Yes, the rich will never vote away their right, their wealth. What was it? Say it again.
I think Utah Phillips would say it was that the rich will never let you vote away their wealth.
Yeah.
And so every time you go to the ballot box, it's kind of, you know, you're justifying your rights and trying to assert your power when you know that they're always the ones pulling the strings and deciding who actually gets to be on the ballot. But things are changing and getting better, and you ladies keep up the great work, and I'll be donating to your charity drive in the next couple weeks, too. So keep up all the great work.
Super fantastic. Thanks very much.
That'll make you a member, Christopher.
And and we love that. Thank you very much. All right, and it's true. We will be, in fact, membership driving, say, next week when we talk again. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, we're still here now. And good morning to Chris. Good morning, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Chris number two here.
Yeah, well, that's why we're identifying you as the Christopher and the Chris.
I thought that was me, so I started talking, and I was a little confused there. hi, thanks
Sorry
for
about
the
that.
Great show, as always. I just wanted to, clarify things a little bit. It sounded like when you were describing today's activities. Anyway, it was like there was an implication that things were not very well connected, and I don't know if that's.
Sorry. That was not what we meant to imply at all.
Okay.
Au contraire.
Cool. Well, I just wanted to. I mean, my understanding is that the 2 o'clock don't shoot gathering is going to be feeding into the main rally, and then at the main rally, there's going to be some cool stuff. I'm particularly excited about the there's going to be a people of color led contingent against state violence and imperialism. That's Black Lives Matter, teacher of the Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines. Apano and a number of other people of color organizations are going to have a large contingent, and there's going to be some speakers and other stuff going on. So stuff is connecting a lot, and I think May Day is going to be focusing a lot on what's going on in Baltimore this week and the ongoing fight against racist police violence. So I'm pleased that these connections are being made.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. And thank you for making sure that it's out there, that in fact things are interconnected. Sorry if we gave a different impression. But in fact, yes. And really, again, we're looking 150 years after Haymarket, more or less. And we're still looking at workers' rights and police violence. And I think that that's just kind of a stunning cycle.
All right. I think also the connection with police violence, looking at the history of May Day in Portland,
Oh, but, yes, May Day 2000.
I think folks should be reminded that, when we started, renewed this tradition of marching for May Day in Portland, the Portland police were very supportive, as they described it. They encouraged marchers along by, firing into the crowd with beanbag rounds and pepper spray and arrested a number of people, injured a number of people. We need to remember that and protest against that as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for your call and your reminders and clarifications.
See you this afternoon.
See ya. And wouldn't miss it. Let's see. 503-231-8187. Do want to let people know that you can follow us on Twitter at Positive Revolt. You can also follow along on Facebook, Positively Revolting on Facebook. And 503-231-8187. Good morning, Brian. You're on the air.
And all that stuff. You might be interested to hear that where I come from in the Scottish Borders, they have a... Of course, this is also the Socialist New Year, you know.
Yes.
But where I come from in the Scottish Borders, they have a Beltane Queen ceremony on this day, and it's not Celtic, actually. It's from the Nordic. They invoke Odin and Thor and stuff. And what they do, it's the town's called Selkirk. It's about 11 miles from my hometown. And they, at midnight, they light this huge bonfire on the top of the hill overlooking the town by the golf course. And they have these, they actually dance around the fire. And it takes several hours, and and as I say, it's a Nordic invocation, and then the pubs open at about 3 a.m, and everybody goes and gets sloshed.
Shocking. In Scotland?
Yeah. No.
Not like us, is it?
No,
but it's,
it's a holiday.
The point I was making is it's a Nordic ceremony. And the southern Scots are from the Vikings.
Oh, I'm going to say, where did those people get their red hair? Not from the Picts,
no,
I think.
We're not red here. Some of us are lucky to have any hair at all. and here's another one from, when I said Matakuyas, and that means all my relations, mm-hmm. everything's related, like you said before. Here's another one from the Cree. You may have heard it. When all the trees have been cut down, when all the animals have been hunted, when all the waters are polluted, when all the air is unsafe to breathe, only then will you discover you cannot eat money. So that's my 10 cents worth, and I'll let somebody else have a go. Thank you.
God knows someone's trying, but it's just...
Thank you. Just show somebody's trying to eat money.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But it's a...
Thank you very much, Brian.
Okay.
Happy May Day to you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, money, it's kind of bland. I'm just saying, it's kind of bland.
Yep.
There's so much to look at.
Here's a little piece of Portland Mayday,
yes,
history.
You know I do.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Marie D. Ikwe was one of the first women to graduate from the University of Oregon Medical School in 1903, and she fought militantly for workers and women's rights. And in 1950, now this was during the McCarthy witch burning period, burning times.
Where no one was actually burnt, because I'm going to say that was a literal thing. So,
I know. They were
persecuted, oppressed,
definitely persecuted,
repressed.
And not allowed to, yeah. To
things
make
were
a
bad.
Living. Yeah, things were very
bad. But
no bad.
One was actually burned at the stake.
No,
just
this
say.
Is true. You're right. I was being metaphorical.
I know,
I'm sorry.
You were.
Anyway, this is 1950, and so radical activist Julia Ruthula was asked by a Portland longshore leader, Francis Murname, to write a poem for Dr. Ikwe. So it was during McCarthyism, people were, like I said, running and hiding, and a fellow longshoreman delivered this poem to the good doctor. Anyway, it's great because we're talking about, one of our callers was talking about bread and roses, and so that was that the tradition of giving women red roses on May Day was an old one for a longshoreman sort of thing. Anyway, these are for you. 13 red roses, Doc. Your lucky number in the old cell block, chalked on cold stone. This day is ours to honor heroes, mark the labor gain. We who have suffered our own special flowers, deep as our blood and dark with Portland rain. 13 red roses. Jack London and Tom Paine, Haywood and Everest, Frank Little and Joe Hill, Pat Carr and Mooney, all the Ludlow dead, Gene Debs, Joe Johnson, and Jim Ray, Becker and Bridges. Labor's blood was red at Boston Common when the Verona fell on the Embarcadero, when the Maritime dead in Chicago with a storm of lead, workers and martyrs. Doc, your coat lapel must wear a rose for us on Labor's Day, fighter and friend to valiant end, our champion to revere and defend. Wear roses for us, Doc, this 1st of May. A little Portland poem from Portland's history, which Portland's radical history. This is from the Portland Red Guide, second edition by Michael Monk, which is a great, great book to own.
Yes. We love him. Mm-hmm. We love that. That book is actually, it's a great book, The Red Guide is. 503-231-8187. And good morning, Francis. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello, Francis.
I'm a daughter of a labor leader, so right on. Freddie Gray, the charges were brought, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
They've all been charged with manslaughter, all six, the manslaughter, negligent homicide, several charges. But the news media is already talking, you know, this is a black woman, right? The attorney who brought the charges.
Right.
Already talking like, well, that was kind of swift, wasn't it? You know, I'm so tired.
Because justice is not supposed to be swift.
Right now. Yesterday they were trying to imply that perhaps he did it to himself.
I know. Right. I saw that.
It's crazy. But anyway, I just wanted to say there's a march today for Freddie Gray.
Yes.
At Portland State. It starts at Portland State at 2:00.
Absolutely so. And so, again, that's 2:00, Portland State Smith Center Park Blocks. So that's Park Blocks and about Montgomery. And we just heard from Chris a little bit ago saying that that march and the other May Day march, looking at workers' rights and immigrants' rights, planned for the park blocks at Shemansky Park, or Salmon, also at 2:00, will in fact combine forces at some point this afternoon. Yeah. So,
all right.
You know, solidarity.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, and it's been a little confusing the way that it's been put out there. There's been, you know, it was at first I thought everyone was meeting at PSU's park blocks, and then, you know, and then there's a KGW story saying these things have nothing to do with each other, and it's like, well, that's wrong.
Right.
Obviously.
So they're going to meet up at some point.
Yeah, Chris, we just got a call from Chris, who was listening, and filled us in that, in fact, the PSU march will feed into the other march is the plan for the afternoon.
And they also were charged with wrongful, they had no probable cause to arrest him in the first place.
Right.
And this is what, you know, this...
And again, just to be clear...
In such a torturous way. It's just,
and to be clear, how he was arrested or why he was arrested, Francis, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that he looked at a police officer and then tried to leave.
Looked him directly in the eye.
Ran away. Looked a cop in the eye and ran. And so then he was murdered. Right. And
and he was charged with carrying a switchblade. The attorney just said he did not have a switchblade. He had a pocket knife,
right,
which is legal.
Right. And unless you're getting on a plane, it's legal.
Arrest him. Right. There was no reason to arrest him in the first place.
Right.
So this is what we need to march about, because this happens all over the country.
It
every day.
Does,
That's
it
why
does.
People are marching everywhere in this country.
And I thank you very much for your call. As you know, this is a topic that we have talked about for years, and it's horrifying that we're still having to do it. And hopefully we are looking at
this.
Yes, hopefully. Thank you so much, Francis.
Take care.
And what I wanted to caution people about... What I wanted to caution people about is really... So I was taking a little hiatus, I gotta say, from social media. You know, every now and again, it's good to tune out. Just every now and again, I was sort of posting the minimum amount that I felt like I was obligated to do as an activist in this world today. And but I wasn't getting into, how do we say, those long, protracted conversations with, you know, on and in social media. And so that stopped this week. I found myself horrified anew because you can see very clearly people's unexamined racism. When we are looking at the incidents, horrific events like we've seen over this last week, like we've seen over the last 6 months, really like we've seen over the last 20 years, we often see the knee-jerk response in social media from people who have not examined these issues and who are just parroting mainstream press. And I really want to ask us all to raise our bars and to challenge each other when we see people parroting the same tired, racist crap. It's time to stand up. So if we see anyone, including the mayor of Baltimore, using the word thug to refer to black men, it's time to speak up, right? It's like the mayor of Baltimore said it, so now all mainstream news announcers can use the word thug because that doesn't have any loaded meaning to it. No, stop. Challenge. Speak out against that kind of crap because it is really super bad. And I think that
It's their slimy way of being able to say the N-word.
It is. I mean, it really, really is.
And I mean slimy.
And when we are listening to and seeing posts that talk about, but really think about how the cops feel. I'm done with thinking about how cops feel. Really? We're talking about
Or that windows, broken windows equal human lives. Right? Well, broken neck, broken window. Not quite the same
apparently,
thing.
People have no respect for, you know, property. It's phenomenal. So encourage
us. Look, the top of your head just blew off.
It blew off a couple of days ago. I was up till dawn bringing somebody to Jesus. I'm sorry. That's a bad phrase. But it's I got to say, we got to raise the bar. We have to encourage each other to really think around these corners. And we have to interrupt racism. As a white person on this planet at this time, it is my responsibility to interrupt racist behavior and racist talk whenever I encounter it. And especially as an activist and as a media activist, when I see it in social media, it is of responsibility. It's like, you know, you got to help somebody get across the
Welcome
street.
Welcome back on board.
You got to, you know. Yeah, I know. I'm back. Okay, fine. I just got to ask us to please raise that bar and not just parrot mainstream news phrases. Thank you very much. I'm off the soapbox again. And
LJ.
Let's go ahead and talk to LJ. Good morning.
How's
morning,
it going? LJ. Brother LJ.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good.
All right. Just a couple of quick points. First, about the passing of Melody Silverwolf. It's my understanding that she was head of Oregon Normal for many, many years, and leaded that organization.
She was very involved, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Extremely involved. I know that. And now we have legalization. Hooray. Okay. Second point, the 15th anniversary today of the 2000 police riot of the May Day of 2000, when the Portland police cornered the demonstrators between in like Waterfront Park.
Yeah.
So they had no place to go. And really did a number on the demonstrators then, so yeah. That needs to be noted.
Yeah,
right?
Led us into a place, told us to disperse, and did not give us a way out.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
It was an amazing day.
How very Haymarket. They were killed.
Well, Gianni and Lynn, when you learn about counterterrorism techniques from the Israeli Defense Force, what else can you expect?
Yeah.
Right. Can we just talk about one thing? In every war, and I really do believe that there's a war on Afro-American men and on people of color, there is generally a body count. Right.
Not in Iraq.
Yep. In this, really.
Not Iraqis.
But I'm talking about Vietnam because that's that was my era. So anyway, the high-profile cases that we see are in front of us, but the ones that we don't see are obviously not. So there is a website called killedbythepolice.net where you can find out some information.
Yes, killedbypolice.net.
Okay. And anyway, have a happy May Day.
You too, LJ.
I see you at the South Park blocks. Be there or be square.
Thank you so much,
have
LJ.
Have a good day.
All right. Yeah, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
And it's a great day.
It is. It's a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. As was May Day 2000, actually. I remember very well my pileated woodpecker costume. Anyway, I move on. That was then. This is now, et cetera, et cetera. I also want to let people know that tomorrow, since we have been remembering Melody, and LJ did bring up her involvement with Normal, and her work with the legalization of cannabis. Tomorrow, Saturday, May 2nd, there is a rally from 11 to 5:30. And that is the Global Cannabis March tomorrow. And that will be meeting up at 6th and Yamhill. It's part of a 300-city worldwide demonstration. So that's 11 o'clock tomorrow. KBOO is a co-sponsor of the Global Cannabis March. Let's go ahead and talk to Eric. Good morning, Eric. You're on the air.
Eric may have just made a comment instead,
Perhaps.
And
it
his
is.
Comment was that thuggy is a Hindi word for anti-imperialist.
Well, and I would say not quite. It's a word. We just actually had a discussion about this in staff meeting because I love KBOO staff meetings. this week, it actually is a word for the lowest case, the complete untouchables. And anyway, there's a lot of etiology there, but it is not to be applied to black men.
Hello.
By mainstream news media or any other pundits on Facebook or other places. let's stop that. Because let's face facts, it's thinly veiled, and it's very thinly veiled. Okay. So with that, we are actually running out of time. Why, you say, are we running out of time now? Because we wanted to leave you with another song for May Day. This was actually Melody's favorite song to start all shows on quarter holidays and cross-quarter holidays. So we thought it was an appropriate ending to this program. I want to let folks know, coming up on KBOO this morning at 9 o'clock, the APA Compass's 10th anniversary special and their last show, and on a high note. They will feature the best of their 10 years as the Pacific Northwest's only Asian Pacific American public affairs radio show. Host Sarika Mehta will return in July with a makeover of APA Compass called Intersections, which will focus on the connections between communities of color. Thank you very much for listening to KBOO. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. You make it all possible. If you are not yet a KBOO member, you can take care of that by becoming a KBOO member right now, going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
Absolutely. You can do that.
Did you have another thing to add?
No, I was just...
Another thing to add.
All right.
So before we get to music, I just wanted to... actually also say this. It is the prayer, of the goddess, rewritten by Starhawk, guest on this program and friend, colleague of Melody's. Listen to the words of the great mother, who of old was called Artemis, Astarte, Diana, Melusine, Aphrodite, Caradwyn, Diana, Arianrhod, Bridget, and many other names. Whenever you have need of anything, once a month, and better it be when the moon is full, you shall assemble in some secret place and adore the spirit of me who is queen of all the wise. You shall be free from slavery, and as a sign that you shall be free and naked in your rights. Sing, feast, dance, make music and love, all in my presence. For mine is the ecstasy of the spirit, and mine is also the joy of the earth. For my law is love unto all beings. Mine is the secret that opens the door of youth. Mine is the cup of wine of life that is the cauldron of Caradwyn, that is the holy grail of immortality. I give the knowledge of the spirit eternal, and beyond death I give peace and freedom and reunion with those who have gone before. Nor do I demand aught of sacrifice, for behold, I am the mother of all things, and my love is poured out upon the earth. Hear the words of the star goddess, the dust of whose feet are the hosts of heaven, whose body encircles the universe. I, who am the beauty of the green earth and the white moon among the stars and the mysteries of waters, I call upon your soul to arise and come to me, for I am the soul of nature that gives life to the universe. From me all things proceed, and unto me they must return. Let my worship be in the heart that rejoices, for behold, all acts of love and pleasure are my rituals. Merry meet, and merry part, and merry meet again.
Fly free, Melody.
At the times appointed by the seasons of the earth and the phases of the moon, in the center often stood a woman equal with the others and respected for her worth. One of the many we call the witches, the healers and the teachers of the wisdom of the earth. The people grew through the knowledge she gave them, herbs to heal their bodies, spells to make their spirits whole. Hear them chanting healing incantations, calling forth the wise one, celebrate and dance and song.
Isis is star to Diana, Hecate at the meter, Kali, Inanna.
There were those who came to power, domination, and they bonded in the worship of a dead man on a cross. They sought control of the common people by demanding allegiance to the Church of Rome, and the Pope declared the Inquisition. It was a war against the women whose power they fear. In this holocaust against the nature peoples, 9 million European women died. And the tale is told of those who by the hundreds, holding together, chose their death in the sea, while chanting the praises of the mother goddess, a refusal of betrayal, women were dying to be free.